Hello and welcome to another Texans Talk podcast. I'm your host for the week, Anthony Wood, and with me this week is the wonderful general himself, Mr. McLean. Thank you very much for joining me.
It is my pleasure, Anthony. Thank you very much for having me.
It's been a relatively quiet day for the Texans in terms of there haven't been any free agent signings. However, they have announced the preseason schedule. We've got week one at the Green Bay Packers, week two versus the Detroit Lions, week three at the Dallas Cowboys, and finishing off week four versus the Los Angeles Rams. How do you feel about this schedule? Do you think it's a good mixture of teams that will challenge them in a different way?
I love the schedule. I love your accent. I tell you what about the schedule. I like it because they're going to have joint practices against the Packers, which means I get to spend extra time in Green Bay. Green Bay is like the Mecca of the NFL, and Lambeau Field, where I've been going to for over 40 years, is the cathedral of the NFL. And there's no place you could go where there will be interest in joint practices as there will be in Green Bay. The third game is the only preseason game that really counts because they play the starters more. In this case, that's the Cowboy game. Usually the Cowboy game is the last one, and by then you're just looking at scrubs, most of whom won't make the team. So this will make the Dallas game more interesting. Of course, they're just coming off that Texans overtime victory over the Cowboys at NRG Stadium last season. And the last game against the Rams, since they play the scrubs, I never pay any attention to the last game at all. And I'm hoping that when Detroit comes in here, they might have some joint practices against them. But I don't think that has been scheduled yet.
What do you think the Green Bay Packers will add, not just in terms of the atmosphere itself, obviously being around Lambeau, but in terms of the competition that they'll face just on a day-to-day basis leading up to that game? What do you think of that choice of Green Bay?
Are you talking about leading up to the preseason game?
Yeah, the joint training sessions.
Well, the Bill O'Brien likes joint practices better than he likes preseason games because you can control it and you can get a lot more work. You know, I love watching J.J. Watt go up against offensive linemen. We're not going to see Jadeveon Clowney because he's going to be holding out, I expect, and we won't see him till regular season begins when the big game checks start. But it'll be fun watching the Packers trying to cover DeAndre Hopkins. I remember when the Texans went to Washington for joint practices, they had to stop everything from getting in fights. And they've had joint practices with a lot of teams, New Orleans, Atlanta. Everything's gone very smoothly except that one against the Redskins. And with the Packers have a lot of new players. And, of course, Aaron Wilson's going to be coming off an offseason. Aaron Wilson covers the Texans with me. Aaron Rodgers is coming off an offseason of controversy, so there'll be a lot of eyes on him in preseason. And because of all that controversy, I expect new coach Matt LaFleur, who's with the Texans for 2 years, to get the best that Aaron Rodgers has got, because Rodgers is going to want to show that he's not a bad guy who tries to rule the roost behind the scene and can't get along with his head coach. So there's going to be a lot to talk about, a lot to write about, and I'm really excited about the possibility of spending 4 or 5 days in Green Bay in August. People think it's cooler up there in August. I've been up there in August. Used to tour the old Cheese League when I was covering the NFL, and it is hot and humid.
The Texans will fit right in then, thankfully.
Yeah, they'll be. No heat and humidity is going to bother them, that's for sure.
So in terms of going up to Green Bay and then also the rest of the preseason, how much do you think we can expect to see from J.J. Watt and Deshaun Watson, who both of whom will have a full preseason for the first time in a little while?
No, I think Watt probably won't play more than 2 or 3 plays in preseason, maybe one series. There's no need for him to. He didn't last year, came back and had a great season. Deshaun Watson, I would imagine Deshaun will play 2 or 3 quarters in preseason, probably the first half of the Cowboy game, maybe the first quarter of the first and second game. So that's about what all starting quarterbacks do. And like Will Fuller coming off an injury, their right tackle, Shontrell Henderson, their new left tackle, Matt Khalil, those guys coming off major injuries, they'll take it easy on them.
Absolutely. And you mentioned obviously 1 or 2 new signings there. There have been a lot of signings this week from the AAF, which obviously sadly collapsed just over a week ago at this point. Can you see any possible AAF players coming into the Texans over the coming week?
I don't know. Not over the coming week. I don't expect them to sign any of the free agents till after the draft. I could be wrong. I believe they will sign two or three more free agents. But there's a date, and I forgot what it is, that once you sign a free agent or lose a free agent, it doesn't count against or for the compensatory formula. So the Texans are a plus three in the compensatory formula right now. I don't expect them to sign anybody that would count against that till after that date, and then they'll get three extra draft choices next season unless one of those guys gets cut or misses an entire season. And there's strategy behind that. And I think after the draft, once they see what they got at what positions, then there's going to be a whole nother wave of free agents. I looked at a list this week. It's amazing how many are still out there who've been unsigned. They're going to be part of the third wave.
Yeah, there really is a lot of talent that's still unsigned in this free agent class. It's quite amazing if you see the players that still are yet to be picked up. So do you see the Texans possibly making any big splashes in free agency once this deadline has passed, or do you think they'll still target the perhaps lesser-known players?
No, I don't see them making a big splash. That's not their MO. I think somebody signs like Ndamukong Suh, even though he only played well in the playoffs, because he's a big name, that would probably be a splash. I don't see the Texans doing that. Whatever positions they think they don't get in the draft, I could see them do it. They're still interested in former Buffalo tackle Jordan Mills, but I don't see that till they see what they get in the draft. But it won't be any big splashes.
How much do you think someone like Mills could possibly add to the formula with Henderson already in the mix?
Now, right now, Chantrell Henderson is not ready to go. So if they signed Jordan Mills after the draft, he would come in and join the off-season program immediately. He would learn right tackle. That's all he knows. He's a three-year starter for Buffalo. Didn't play very well last season. They replaced him. You know, he would compete with Chantrell Henderson at right tackle. That would give them, not counting the draft, Chantrell Henderson and Jordan Mills at right tackle and Julion Davenport and Matt Khalil at left tackle. But the problem is Khalil and Henderson are coming off major surgeries. Mills and Davenport didn't play well. So that shows why they're so desperate in the draft.
I'm curious for your take on this. In terms of the long term here, do you believe that the likes of Davenport and perhaps Henderson, at least for a year or two, do you think they should be starters, or should the Texans be looking at replacing both starters this coming season?
I think they should, if they can, but they're not going to draft two guys to step in and replace them. And if Jordan Mills were to be signed and he started right tackle, that'd mean Henderson's health was not good. They liked Henderson last year. They liked what he did in the off-season program, preseason, training camp, and that's why he earned that job. He started the first game against New England, and then he suffered a season-ending broken foot. So they believe if he's healthy, the right tackle job is his. Now, if that first-round pick or a pick in the second round is a right tackle and he came in here and beat out Henderson, that'd be great. And as far as Julion Davenport, last year was his first season as a full-time starter. He struggled big time. Now, you'd think he would be better in his third season, but it would be hard to be worse. That's why they need a left tackle. Matt Khalil, who they signed from, who'd been cut by Carolina, so they didn't have to pay him a roster bonus. Now, he's missed two of the last three seasons with hip surgery and knee surgery. And the season that he started, 17 games counting a playoff game for the Panthers, even though he started 17 games at left tackle, they said he was very inconsistent. Now, he was real good his first 4 years, but what are the odds that he's going to be able to reclaim that at 29? Offensive tackle, of course, is their biggest need. Now, some people think they need guards and center. That's not a priority. They like Nick Martin at center. Zach Fulton is the right guard. He started last year. Martinez Rankin, third-round pick last year, who played tackle and guard, I believe he will start at left guard. Senio Calamete, who started last year, will be a backup. And Bill O'Brien wants competition. Of course he wants talent, but he wants competition too. And I know they would like to come out of the draft with two offensive linemen, and they better come out of the draft with two cornerbacks, because corner is even bigger need than offensive line right now. But overall, Pro Football Focus said this week they were the second worst offensive line in the NFL last season, which really surprised me, because I thought they'd be the worst, but they had Arizona as the worst. And of course, Arizona was 3-13 as first pick in the draft, and the Texans were 11-5 and division champion. So they were able to overcome that bad offensive line in regular season, but it better improve.
I can't help but feel that rating of second from last is perhaps just down to Watson's mobility and ability to get away from what could have been even more sacks, unfortunately.
Though that helped him a lot. And Watson created some of those sacks as well by holding the ball. He likes to hold the ball and let receivers get open down the field, and that's very noble. He was, I believe, third or fourth in average per attempt, and he's tough. You know, he is physically tough. We saw that time and again, but he's got to learn to get rid of the ball quicker, but still not sacrifice his yards per attempt. And that will come with experience. And I think if he has a better line in front of him, that would certainly give him more confidence. Remember, after that embarrassing playoff loss to Indianapolis at NRG Stadium, he kind of called out his line about the pressure he was getting up the middle. That's the first time he'd said anything about it all season.
Do you think perhaps having a former Texans quarterback, T.J. Yates, in the building now, do you think that might help him?
T.J. is going to be so far down the food chain, just like Andre Johnson, Brian Cushing, and Akeem Dent. You know, he's got a quarterback coach and Carl Smith, who's been in the NFL for like 34 years. He's got an offensive coordinator now, Tim Kelly, plus Bill O'Brien spends a lot of time coaching him. And I'm sure if he wanted tips or something, T.J. will be watching and observing. But this first season, T.J. is going to be just kind of a gopher, getting coffee, and Bill O'Brien will want to know what he thinks. Otherwise, he wouldn't have brought him into the organization. Some things he sees, I'm pretty sure he would relay them to the other coaches.
Absolutely, and I must admit, the hiring of Carl Smith in particular was, for me, it's one of the best of the offseason, because the work he's done, obviously, with Russell Wilson, as everybody knows, is fantastic. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what he can do alongside Watson over the coming years.
Russell Wilson swears by Smith. People say, well, why would he leave Seattle and Russell Wilson to come here? Well, his son works for the Texans, and he's got his son and daughter-in-law and his grandchild here. Plus, if anybody knows, in Seattle, it's a whole lot less expensive to live in Texas. So I think after being with Pete Carroll at USC and Seattle, being with New Orleans and other teams for a long time, bringing him in kind of was like bringing in Brad Seeley last year, was in his 30 years as special teams coach, and he did a tremendous job with these special teams. And I think having Smith's experience as an offensive coordinator and a quarterback coach would be very good for Watson.
Absolutely. Now on to one of the bigger topics of the week. Jadeveon Clowney obviously still hasn't signed a contract. DeMarcus Lawrence of the Dallas Cowboys has just signed a $100+ million deal, $65 million guaranteed, 5 years. That sets the bar for the Texans roughly at just over $20 million per season. How do you see this playing out for the moment? Where do you see their camps currently standing?
I have not changed my opinion since the last offseason, when I said Clowney would be franchised, would not sign a contract, and I still believe it, because they would like to be paid like Khalil Mack and Aaron Donald. It's not going to happen. DeMarcus Lawrence didn't get quite their money, and that was good for him. You know, you get that kind of guaranteed money with as many surgeries as he's had, not to mention a 4-game suspension. Now he's getting another operation. I don't see any way he's going to be ready to start a regular season coming off surgery to repair a labrum in his shoulder. Been Clowney, other than the knee injury early in his career, and he's not missed time. because of injuries, and he's been really good over the last 3 years, but he's not a great pass rusher. To get the really big bucks, you got to be a great pass rusher, and he hadn't had more than 9.5 sacks. So I think they have a budget. You know, they've got a budget for him like they do all players so far. His agent, Buzz Cook, has not agreed to what they want. It's on the back burner, and I think he'll play as a franchise player. They'll pick up the negotiations sometime before, probably around the 1st of July. The deadline's July 15th. I don't think either side expects him to get signed, and then they'll try again next year.
So you don't expect him to report for training camp then, I presume?
Nope. I expect you'll see him when regular season begins and he makes $15.7 million. That means about $1 million a game. I don't see him walking away from it, but I didn't see Le'Veon Bell walking away from $14.5 million last year either.
Do you think perhaps Clowney is overestimating his value slightly?
I think you should go after whatever you think you can get. And if you don't get it and you're happy with playing with the franchise tag of $15.7 million, then you always run that risk. And most players do overvalue themselves when it comes to what management thinks, and then they undervalue themselves or they do it right on the money. But I just don't think it's going to get done.
So in your opinion, what would you set his current market value at approximately in comparison to, say, DeMarcus Lawrence?
Excuse me, I hadn't thought about it because I've never thought he would sign. And I thought he wants money like Donald and Mac. And I would say DeMarcus Lawrence has been a double-figure sack guy 2 years. Clowney never has. So Clowney should be somewhere right behind DeMarcus Lawrence.
Absolutely. I personally couldn't agree more. I think he's prodigiously talented, don't get me wrong, but and I know a lot of people criticize those who use stats as a sort of way of justifying this, but at the end of the day, he simply isn't recording the same number of stats as the likes of a DeMarcus Lawrence or an Aaron Donald, or if you look upwards, J.J. Watt or a Von Miller. It simply isn't happening.
He's a great run player. He's disruptive. He knows the defense. He can move around. The offense, they only has two players they have to worry about on this defense right now. That would be J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney. I think next season we'll see them worrying more and more about Justin Reed. I think he's going to end up being a perennial Pro Bowl safety. Clowney. And I said, why would they trade him? They don't need to trade him. They can have him 2 years as a franchise player before they can't do it a third year because that's quarterback franchise money, but I think that wouldn't surprise me if it's just like DeMarcus Lawrence. They don't get him signed to a long-term deal next year. Franchise and continue negotiations.
Absolutely. And about Justin Reed, I could not agree more. He was a fantastic draft pick last season, third rounder, an absolute steal. He really could have gone in first round given his talent. He's been a brilliant acquisition. I'm really looking forward to seeing his development, especially after he said on Twitter the other day that he's looking forward to hitting Antonio Brown after his comments about Juju Smith-Schuster.
Yeah, I can't wait to ask him about that before the game next season when the Texans play the Raiders at NRG Stadium.
It's going to be interesting. I suspect most of the cameras will be pointing at him for the majority of the game. But another player I'm particularly looking forward to on that defensive line next season would be Zach Cunningham. I really think there's a great deal of talent there. He showed a lot before his injury and after his injury last season. He was leading the team in tackles up until his injury, when at which point Bernardrick McKinney took over. But I really do think there is an exceptional talent there.
Zach Cunningham is their best coverage linebacker. That's why they drafted him. They've invested in their linebackers, 2 first-round picks in Jadeveon Clowney, Whitney Merciless, and 2 second-round picks, Bernardrick McKinney and Zach Cunningham. And even though they didn't play like it early last season, I think by the end of regular season, not the playoffs, of course, but by the end of regular season, that foursome was as good as any in the league. And their needs are at corner. They don't need another linebacker. They'd love to have an inside pass rusher. You can never have enough outside linebackers in the 3-4 because of injuries. But Cunningham is there for a reason, and I think he had an interception return for a touchdown, and that is to cover tight ends, running backs, And in his third season, if he stays healthy, I expect him to be even better at it.
But with Christian Covington now at the Cowboys, can you not see the Texans perhaps using a late pick on a defensive end?
They Carlos Watkins, going into his third season, is ready to step up and replace Covington. They didn't try to keep Covington. The only free agent they lost, they made an offer to, was Tyrann Mathieu. All the other guys who left, they, it's harsh to say, but they weren't wanted back. And so Watkins, it's time for him to put up and shut up, former fourth-round pick. They've got Brandon Dunn on the nose, DJ Reader at right end. They would love to have another inside pass rusher. And this is a really good draft for front players in the front seven. It wouldn't surprise me, even though they're desperate for tackles and corners, if they didn't use one of their four premium picks, first through third round, on an inside pass rusher. I don't see them doing it on an outside guy. They like Duke Ejiofor, who flashed last year, played special teams well. Most players make their biggest improvement between the first and second season. And I don't know how Justin Reed could get much better. Kiki Coutinho stay healthy, but a guy like Duke Ejiofor, he had some injury issues, but they liked him. We're going to find out a whole lot more about him being able to play outside linebacker, put some pressure on the quarterback. But they need another safety to replace Andre Howell. They have two. They need a backup, and then they need at least one, probably two corners, before they ever even think about getting around to an inside pass rusher. That's why they're going to end up having to sign some more free agents after the draft.
Absolutely. And do you think the Texans could go corner in the first round? And do you have any particular favorites?
I have done now 9-10 mock drafts. I've got two left. And I've had them taking one of the three top corners, Ree Williams, Byron Murphy, and DeAndre Baker, each one time. I think that there's a better chance that one of them is there at 23 than one of the top offensive tackles. Cody Ford from Oklahoma will probably be there, but some people have him at guard. They say he'll play right tackle at best, guard at worst, but he's not a left tackle, which is what they need. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if they don't take a corner in the first round and a tackle in the second.
Absolutely. And do you think it could potentially be a safety or a safety corner hybrid of some form?
For corners and safeties, good value in the second, third round. But I think they right now, if they played today, their corners would be 35-year-old Jonathan Joseph, Bradley Roby coming off a mediocre season in Denver, and slot corner Aaron Colvin coming off a disappointing season with the Texans. They better get another corner, and they better get two, because they're struggling, and they play a much more difficult schedule against so much better quarterbacks and wide receivers. And they better be able to cover those guys, because if you can't, and we saw at times last year, especially down the stretch, when just about every defensive back other than Reed and Andre Howell struggled. That included Tyrann Mathieu, included Kareem Jackson, Jonathan Joseph, Aaron Colvin, everybody. And so they got to get that worked out.
Absolutely. And you mentioned wide receivers. That's another topic that I've heard a lot of people talking about. Can you possibly see the Texans at some point taking another receiver for depth? Because again, a receiver, whilst they've got their starters certainly lined up, with Fuller and QT both sort of injury prone, at least QT for in his rookie season he was, they may well need some backup.
They better get a fourth receiver. I don't know what they think about Vincent Smith, but there's a lot of free agents still out there. They got to get the tackle. They got to get corner. You know, they after the first three rounds, they have four picks. They don't have a four. They have a 5, 6, and a 7. And realistically, that seventh round pick, you're not going to get anything out of them. Maybe not the 6, maybe even the 5. I know, wouldn't surprise me at all if the tackles are gone, if Brian Gain didn't trade down in the first round to try to pick up the fourth round pick that they gave up to Denver to Demaryius Thomas. And they need another receiver, even though you can't go in like, okay, Will Fuller's going to get hurt again. Kiki QT's going to be hurt again. First time QT'd ever been hurt. I talked to Cliff Kingsbury at the combine, and he was shocked that QT was hurt that much. Said he never even missed a practice at Texas Tech. He said, I know him well enough to know whatever they tell him to do to avoid that next year, he'll do it. And he said he'd be really surprised if he was hurt a lot again, but you have to prepare for that possibility. So maybe it's a deep year for wide receivers. Fortunately for the Texans, it is a deep year for a deep draft for the players, for the positions that they need. Problem is, can they get a third running back who can catch? Can they get a wide receiver who can run? Can they get an inside pass rusher? Can they get an extra safety? Can they get corner and a tackle? You know, that's where Brian Gaines is going to have his work cut out. Based on what we saw last year, with no one or two, this year they got a one and two twos. What they did last year bodes well for Gaines in this draft, but you can't fill everything in one draft, so that's why I think free agency will be crucial to them after the draft.
Absolutely, and you mentioned obviously the need for a third running back who can catch. I actually brought this up with Aaron Reese a few days ago. What do you think of the possibility of the Texans potentially bringing in Duke Johnson from the Browns? I know there's been some rumors about that.
Well, Duke Johnson, Cleveland would be crazy to trade him because I don't understand why they would, because Kareem Hunt can't play for eight games. And so who's going to be Nick Chubb's backup? Unless they've got somebody else up there we don't know about, or they draft somebody, I think they'd be foolish to trade Johnson. They were talking about trying to get a three. There's no way the Texans are giving up a three. They might give up a five or six, but I don't think Cleveland would take that for him, even when they do decide to trade him.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, as talented as he is and as good a pass catcher as he is, I can't see the Texans willing to part with draft picks for him, because Gaines and O'Brien are so dead set on building through the draft, and they are very keen on holding draft picks, so to speak.
This is a draft that is not, if you need a running back to come in and start, you're in trouble. Now, some of them will. They always do. But if you need a running back to be a role player who fits a specific skill set, and I would imagine that the guy's got to be a good receiver, he's got to be able to block, because in this offense, the running backs have to block because the offensive line has been so bad, they have to help out on pass protection. One reason Lamar Miller had been used in the passing game more is because he's having to stand so much. I'm sure they'd like to have a third back who could shift over into the slot, maybe even line up outside, somebody who was more than just somebody to toss it to swinging out of the backfield.
Absolutely. So here's the final question for you. If you were the Texans GM, if you were Brian Gaines, and it was draft day right now, who do you think you would pick in the first round?
Well, I'd hope that Washington State left tackle Andre Dillard would be there, because he's the best pure left tackle in the draft, but he's going to be long gone. Jonah Williams from Alabama, some people like him at guard or right tackle. Juwan Taylor, Florida, played strictly right tackle. Dalton Risner from Kansas State, look at him as a guard or right tackle. That's what Greg Little of Ole Miss is, the second pure left tackle, but they view him as a second round pick. So I'm going to say, if I am Brian Gaines, I'm going to take the left tackle or the corner who I have rated highest on my board.
John, thank you ever so much for joining us this week. Where can our listeners find you on social media?
Anthony, thank you very much for having me on Twitter. I'm at McLean, McClain underscore on underscore NFL. And people can find almost everything I write is on HoustonChronicle.com or TexasSportsNation.com. And you get all that for $29.95 a year. Thank you very much, Anthony, and hope you have fun at the draft.
Absolutely, and thank you very much. And as usual, our listeners can find me at ARWood_NFL and at the Texans Wire. And thank you very much for listening once again. See you next week.